Before we dive into today's discussion, we have a special resource just for you, a free ebook called Does It Make Sense to Believe in God? In today's world where faith is often labelled as outdated or irrational, this ebook takes a fresh look at the evidence for God. It features reflections from years of engaging with some of the world's leading atheists, like Richard Dawkins, and reveals why, after hearing every conceivable argument, our confidence in God's existence is stronger than ever. Download Does It Make Sense to Believe in God today for free at premierinsight.org/resources. That's premierinsight.org/resources. Now, let's get started with today's show.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Thank you for listening to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources and podcasts. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. But now for today's show.
I am delighted to be joined today by Sarah Hawkyard, a Christian singer-songwriter. And Sarah's got some amazing stories of how C.S. Lewis has profoundly influenced her own life. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ruth. So eager to be here.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you. What I'd love to do, Sarah, is just go back to the very beginning. What was your experience of God as a child?
Oh, great question. My experience of God as a child was quite a distant one, but he was nevertheless there. So I would say I wasn't a Christian, but I half was. Maybe lots of people in England would describe themselves now as that. They'd say, I believe in God, and occasionally go to church. Grew up in a school with lots of chapels and church services. I sang in a choir, at the school choir, so I was at every Sunday chapel and everything like that as well. So God was present, church was present, but I didn't have a relationship with God. And I didn't know the importance of Jesus. I knew a load of Bible stories, but they were just stories. So that was my relationship with God as a child.
So what's changed? Because you are now a Christian singer-songwriter, so presumably things look a little bit different now.
Yeah, everything has changed. It's like the Amazing Grace song, I was blind and now I see. And C.S. Lewis played a massive, massive role in that. But the story of becoming a Christian began when I was singing in London, and a CEO of a Christian big company, a media company in America, hired me to play at their convention in Nashville. And I just thought, wow, this was at a time that I was not in a relationship. I was a singer, just trying to make my way in London, very hard to do, paying my bills. And that was about it for me for life, and had no idea where life was going either. So and right now I'm a Christian singer-songwriter, married and a mum. So everything has changed since that moment. And that's been only in 6-7 years. So I went over to Nashville 6 months later, having learned a load of Christian songs and really connected with the music, though the words were a little holy, holy. I really loved the tunes, the melodies, this connection with this higher being that was so raw and so beautiful that I thought, oh, I really like that. I don't feel that with anything, with anyone. And I'd love to feel that, perhaps not with God, but, you know, I had no idea what I was thinking, but it was all in my head, milling and milling and milling. And I must thank this incredible man for hiring me, because that took so much faith as well for him. I mean, I wonder how God stirred in him as well to say, you know, hire this lady to play your kind of background music. And at one point I had to sing on a big stage because their lead act had to go and play at a funeral. I think it was Michael W. Smith. So wow. I had to take his place. I was like, whoa. I, it was just an incredible experience. But I was there as a very, as someone who believed in God, but that was it. So I asked lots of questions. I got some scary answers, some incredible answers, some inspiring answers. But, and only once did I feel extremely uncomfortable. And the rest of the time I was fascinated and intrigued by it all. And then I came back and in between that time I'd met my now husband as well. And then he recommended Mere Christianity. And that's when I sat down and read C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. And that's when, backed from an experience in Nashville that I'll never forget, it was like reading building blocks for where to go into. It was reading Mere Christianity was like never having seen a house before and then being given a massive tour of exactly what a house is, every single room, how everything works, what you need to get. That's what reading Mere Christianity was for me, about learning about Christianity from somewhere where I'd had very little knowledge, but some knowledge, but very little. And it got me intrigued, it got me hooked, it got me asking questions, it got my heart and my mind, because Lewis is such a intellectual man, and I've always liked the presence of intellectuals, always. And so listening to him, knowing that he was Cambridge taught an Oxford professor, or the other way around, I never remember which way around.
Bit of Oxford, bit of Cambridge.
Yeah, exactly. Incredible writer, incredible mind, then reading what he was saying about Christianity without him trying to pull you into it, without him trying to evangelize you, without him, because, you know, most people, perhaps some people listening and certainly me, you don't really want to be pushed into something you're not really interested in. You just want to know what it's about. And so that's what he did. He just gave me the grand tour. And I was blown away. I could carry on.
I read on your Instagram, there was a post where you described Mere Christianity as a game changer. What do you mean by that? Was it because it was such a significant moment in your own journey, do you think?
I think the main reason is because it exposed in me the dark sides that I thought were normal and that weren't dark. And it exposed in me moral boundaries, where in a world where now moral boundaries are a bit blurred, and I quite like the blurriness of moral boundaries, and I quite like being someone who is just kind of on, I don't know, always trying to pushing boundaries in certain ways, and it exposed them. And he challenges the reader to what their life looks like in a really fun and whimsical way, but in a way that makes you go, oh, okay. I mean, there's one quote, and he's talking about pride, and he talks about the greatest sin of mankind is, and you think, what's it going to be? Is it going to be murder? Is it going to be envy? Or is it, and he says it's pride. And I thought, hang on a minute. And he just exposed the pride in me. He exposed, and then from then on, I was just changed. He exposed moral. I loved his moral analogy, like ships in a fleet, and that humans' behavior with each other is like ships on the sea. We can sink a boat in the behavior between the ships, but we can also sink a boat with the behavior within the ship. So that's ourselves, our behaviors with each other, our behavior within ourselves. And looking at morals like that, but then also where the ships are sailing. It might be all well and good if you're wanting to get to New York, but you end up in Cape Town. And it got my brain just thinking and going, okay, well, where am I heading? Where's my ship heading? And he's exposing the self-destructive behavior within me. And he's telling me, and this is all just what Christianity says. It was game changing, because I looked at myself through the lens of Christianity without being judged and without being forced, and went, I don't want to be the person I am now anymore. And I want to be this person that he's talking about in Mere Christianity, that God kind of wants us to be, that God molded us to be. And that's why it was game changing.
Sarah, you're a singer-songwriter. Would you say that, I suppose indirectly, a lot of your music has probably been influenced by Lewis because that book had such an impact on your life. But do you think any of your songs have been more directly influenced by Lewis and perhaps what you read through Mere Christianity?
I do have one. One of my very early songs that I wrote that I haven't actually recorded yet. But that was quite heavily influenced. So it was describing, it was almost kind of a song to describe God as someone having just read Mere Christianity, as someone who's just kind of getting the ideas of what Christianity is about, but isn't a full believer. And it created him as another dimension. You're another dimension, somewhere beyond time and space. Can we even imagine your look, your form, your face? And the chorus is, you, oh, you are the greatest unknown, somewhere far beyond our minds. Something great, unknown, and far beyond our minds. All these things I was picking up from C.S. Lewis. So that is, I'd say, probably the only song that really blossomed from that book, but I haven't actually recorded it yet, so I must.
Well, now we've heard that commitment, Sarah, there are lots of witnesses. You must record it, we must hear it, and then we can play it on the show. I mean, you, like Lewis, use creativity as the medium to work out your faith, to share some of your story. Why do you think creativity and storytelling is so important, and have you been influenced at all by Lewis in that respect?
I was bathing my little baby boy last night, and I had Hans Zimmer's music on in the background. And what creativity does to you is something that's almost, you can't really put into words, because you feel it at a soul level. You feel it somewhere down deep in the body. I was just having this beautiful moment of just admiring the creation, gratitude for my child, through film music, just softly flowing through my body. Because I think creativity, music for me and for many others, awakens the senses and invites emotions in that the written word doesn't, or that just life, you can get shrouded by busyness. So creativity, I think, is so important to connect with the soul and to connect with the bigger meaning in life. And Lewis does that through his writing. I did try and do it through music and through listening to music. I'm embarrassed to say I'm much more of a creator than a consumer. and then when I consume, I get, whoa, blown away, and I feel that emotion that I'd love to create. I suppose it comes in waves. But yeah, I think creativity is massively important in this world, because individually we all need that connection with something greater than ourselves, and we all need emotions to flow and expand and grow. And I think that's, yeah, through sport, through music, through all sorts.
Yeah, I wonder if it plays into that amazing quote from Mere Christianity, where Lewis says, if I find in myself a desire that nothing in this world will satisfy, and my conclusion is that I was made for another world. And I wonder if music and storytelling and creative elements take us to that place where we realise that actually we were made for so much more than this.
I know, I think you might be right. I posted that on my Instagram the other day, that quote. And music often makes me feel it. You often feel like, oh, there's something great, something bigger, or catching yourself on what you're bad at, or catching yourself where temptation catches you. You go, okay, there's something bigger that I'm made for. All sorts of things that make you think that, for me.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
We're excited to announce the launch of a brand new podcast from Premier Insight called The Bible Explored with Rico Tice, featuring Rico Tice, a renowned British preacher and apologist. The Bible Explored with Rico Tice podcast offers practical guidance for living out the eternal truth of God's word in everyday life. It will inspire and equip you to boldly share the gospel, even in life's toughest situations. To continue creating content and resources like this, we rely on the generosity of listeners like you. Your support is vital to keep Premier Insight strong and ensure programs like the Bible Explored with Rico Tice podcast can reach more people and equip a generation of Christians to live out their faith with clarity, conviction, and confidence. Simply go to premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. That's premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. Thank you for your support.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation. So I'm really struck by the fact that I still consistently meet people for whom C.S. Lewis had such a profound impact on their faith. C.S. Lewis, who wrote Mere Christianity years and years ago, who died nearly 61 years ago now. I mean, why is it that so long after his death, so long after he was writing, he is still relevant today? He still resonates to hearts of the 21st century.
I think because his writing is so good, and I think because his writing is timeless. He one of the quotes that I love, for example, is, if a thing is free to be good, then it is also free to be bad. Mm. And the better a stuff a creature is made of, the cleverer and stronger it is, then the better it will be if it goes right, but also the worst it will be if it goes wrong. So he writes on this level that just really just translates to the human being, to the human machine, as he also calls it. And sometimes catching him make quotes like, if a man earns £10,000 a year and yearns for £20,000, he kind of gives you a little giggle because time's moved on so much. But those aside, everything else is relatable. Everything else is connects 100% with the reader.
And would you have any advice for someone who perhaps looks and sees some of those anachronisms, some of those things where you're like, oh, this isn't my context, I don't understand perhaps the language or some of the analogies that he's using? Someone who is desperate to get into Mere Christianity but is perhaps slightly put off by some of those slightly older elements of the book, have you got any advice about how to actually fully engage with the book?
Yeah, I would say know that there are going to be some out-of-date analogies and examples, and then put it in a box and read it, because it won't impact your reading. It'll only maybe slightly make you giggle. It's another reason to get into it.
I think as well, some of the best advice I've heard from Alistair McGrath, who does this podcast with me, is to perhaps read with other people. And it might be that you perhaps don't understand a particular passage, but someone else does, and they can help you with that. Or you've both got different thoughts about something, and actually having those discussions can make things feel a bit clearer. Was it, when you were reading Mere Christianity, was that something you discussed with anyone else, or was it very much a kind of personal endeavour for you?
I discussed it a little bit with my husband, but it was much more of a personal endeavor. Yeah, losing myself in his words of wisdom, losing himself in his incredible analogies. I love at one point he said it could be as I can't remember how it goes, but something like comparing yourself with a poached egg. just got me giggling. I listened to I read the book all those years ago, and then I've re-listened to it on audiobooks ever since, like maybe once every 2 years. And the last time I listened to it was just this September. So, and every time I listen to it, I get filled, I get inspired and motivated to be the person that God created us to be, motivated to understand more as well. Yeah, no, I love it.
Sarah, you've quoted bits of the book and sort of talked about a lot of the analogies the whole way through this conversation. But is there one particular quote or one particular analogy that still so resonates with you or was particularly instrumental in you thinking about becoming a Christian?
Yes, yes. Oh, several. But the first one, it's a bit long, but it's this one. Every time you make a choice, you are turning the central part of you into something a little different than it was before. And taking your life as a whole, with all your innumerable choices, you are slowly turning the central thing either into a heavenly creature or into the opposite. And that really struck with me, because if you were to put your thoughts on a wall, if everyone could read your daily thoughts, you would be mortified. Mm-hmm. So it made me think of those daily thoughts and made me think, I want to become more of a heavenly creature, not the opposite, not a bad one. And it starts with my thoughts. It doesn't start with what am I going to do with my life? It starts with my everyday thoughts. And that really, really struck with me. Of course, there's the quote, Christianity of false is of no importance, if true is of infinite importance, for what it can't be is moderately important. That one just made me go, right, I'm in. I'm going to dig more. Because what Mere Christianity did for me was create these building blocks of interest and of knowledge. Mm. Because I think when you're a British person with this vague knowledge of God and of the Bible stories that you have, but it's not relational, what Mere Christianity does is it gives you some knowledge, some real good building blocks to stand upon and launch yourself into more of a dive. Because I'd read the book, but then still didn't get into the Bible or even Jesus until later. But I was hooked onto Christianity and everything that it was because of Mere Christianity. So it's, then there was a book called Jesus Is by Judah Smith that really then got me knowing who Jesus was and why he was so important. Lewis does talk about him. I love what he says about the nonsense about him being a moral teacher. Mm. Because so many people I meet, they say, oh, I think Jesus is great as a moral teacher and good, you know, but can't really see him as anything more than that. And Lewis does a really good job of talking about that and giving you no basis to think like that. Because he goes on to say that the Son of God is begotten, not made, and therefore... and Jesus, who claimed to be God, cannot be just a good moral teacher, because he'd either be a lunatic or it'd be true. And he writes it in a wonderful way.
Yeah. So. It says it quite strongly, doesn't he? That option is not open to us.
Yeah, he doesn't leave it open to us that he's a good moral teacher. Yeah. He's either a fraud or it's true. And you must make your choice. So, all right, I'll make my choice. I love that challenging. I love how Lewis challenges you in a really non-pushy way. He just says, "This, you don't have the choice to think this or this. So where are you going to go with it?" And it just makes you think, I'm going to look into it more. Thank you. And inspires you to look into it more.
Sarah, if you could ask Lewis any question or share any thought with him, if he was here with us today, what would you want to say?
do you know John Lennox, right?
I do know John Lennox.
He's the most wonderful man. Professor and theologian and apologetics. And he tells the story of Lewis walking into a room, undoing his scarf and his coat as he starts the lecture, as he walks into his room and back out again. He doesn't give anyone a chance to even ask him anything. back in the day when Lewis was around and teaching, I'd kind of want to ask him, why did he do that? And why did he not want to answer questions? And perhaps because he was famous at that point. I remember I have listened to some Alistair McGrath podcasts as well on C.S. Lewis, and he did mention that he did become so famous that he didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that's probably why. But I would want to ask him, what else? I would love to ask him how, because he was Christian, then atheist, then Christian, wasn't he? I'd love to ask him, what are his favorite Bible sayings and ways to talk to non-Christians about Christianity? I'd love to ask him all sorts.
Just dive into more of his life.
Yes, exactly. We'll talk about Narnia.
Of questions.
How Christianity came into that.
Yeah, it's interesting. He did actually write to a lot of the people who responded to him. So people would write and ask him questions and he would write back. So I did an interview recently with Kathy Keller, Tim Keller's widow, who she was actually one of the last people ever to correspond with C.S. Wow. Lewis. She was 9 at the time. And she wrote to him thinking he was this very unknown English professor that just needed a bit of encouragement because she really enjoyed Narnia. Little did she know, obviously, by this point, he was this huge polymath with a huge following. But he took the time to write, but they responded, you know, 3 or 4 times, and she still got all the letters. And there must be so many people out there for whom that is the case. They just wrote what they thought was a pointless question that would never get asked, and actually he took the time to sit down and handwrite or kind of hand type or through his brother Warnie all of these letters in response to what people were saying.
That's wonderful to hear. What a good man.
So there you go. If you get your typewriter out, Sarah, you could type him a question.
We'll ask him in heaven.
Yeah, absolutely. Sarah, how do we find out about your music? How do we listen to the beautiful songs that you've written?
Well, I'm on Spotify and Apple Music, all the streaming services under Sarah Hawkyard, the bird and the scruffy garden, Hawkyard, and YouTube. I'm trying my best at TikTok. I did not grow up with that, so it's a bit hard. But no, I'm on that as well. And I'm also on Instagram. So I try and talk about the songs and do little covers and all sorts of little snippets on my Instagram, all centered around kind of music and faith and how they couple. And that's kind of my online presence.
Great. Well, I will make sure that there's a link to all of those things in the podcast as well, so you can just click straight through. But Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much, Ruth, for having me.
Thank you for listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson. Many of the topics that we've touched on today are discussed in greater detail on earlier episodes of the programme. Check out our archive of past shows at premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, videos, and podcasts. Plus, if you register on our website or sign up for our newsletter there, then you will get exclusive access to new content, free resources, and more. That's premierunbelievable.com. What did you think of today's show? Are there any topics or works of C.S. Lewis that you would like us to explore next? We would love to hear from you. Send us an email, unbelievable@premier.org.uk. Connect with us on X, formerly known as Twitter, @premierunbelievablefe, or drop us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook @premierunbelievable. We have also recently launched on TikTok, so if that's your thing, or you know anyone else who might be interested, then you can find us there @premier.unbelievable. Your feedback and thoughts are so important to us, so please get in touch. If you're enjoying the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it on whatever platform you're listening on, as it helps more people to discover the show. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.